Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
To have thrown more than one no-hitter in his career. Terry's guy, Bud Galvin, did it August 4th, 1884, and August 20th, 1880.
I'm a rat bastard.
Time-traveling Terry Bors has got to be a thing.
Because he's not ready for anything, and if it doesn't hit him in the head, it's going to hit him in Mr. Nuts.
It'd be like Doc Brown, but weird.
He's screaming, he's screeching, he's touching himself.
He's at the crucifixion.
Smack, 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 my ass hurts.
He's making voices when they use the guillotine.
Iceberg, run ahead!
Whoa, look out! Ducks! Whoa!
This is Sparta!
I'm mad! I'm angry! I can prove it! I have an erection!
You're implying that a group composed entirely of female animals will breed?
No, I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
I think they go 8 or 9 pumps deep.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Oh, I needed that. God damn. Great stuff, Campy. The Bernstein and McKnight Show, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Tim Anderson of the White Sox will be our guest at 10. We will do the midday midway shortly thereafter at 10:20. And Len Casper, he's had some fun calls last couple nights. So
it's a big night.
Yeah, we need a ruling on something, too. We're gonna, about, you know, I'm not going to be the celebration police, but I have some questions about how these things are supposed to be handled.
I feel like about to be the celebration police.
On a day we talked to Tim Anderson, you think I'm going to be the celebration police?
I would hope not.
No. But Len Casper will join us at 11, and we've got an opportunity for you to win $1,000 cash. Be listening for the text keyword to win. 312-644-6767. That's our phone number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you're going to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to text? You want to text at 67011? Feel free to do so. And when you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein _MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan _Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Time traveling Terry should be on the Avengers.
No, he shouldn't.
Hey, I got a stone, buddy. I don't know.
Look,
Steve
just
stone.
Nobody tell time traveling Terry that we're even going for the Infinity Gauntlet today. Just nobody tell him.
Right, because he's going to
We're going to try and fight Thanos, but nobody tell Terry. He's going to get in the way and be weird about things.
Terry, did you get the Mind Stone? No, she made an appointment, and then she said she can go, and he couldn't get me in, so I went there. And then he said no, and made me wait. So I don't know what happened. Stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. The video camera's here. Hi. Brian Gertz directs the feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Producers Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the executioner Ray Diaz. This segment is brought to you by the Chicago Dogs. Baseball, hot dogs, fireworks. Come see Carlos Zambrano's comeback at the Chicago Dogs, your premier minor league baseball team located in Rosemont. Opening day is May 17th, and all fans will receive an iconic hot dog costume and will set a world record for the largest pack of wieners in one location. Tickets at www.thechicagodogs.com. The Chicago Dogs, baseball with everything. And speaking of which,
yes.
Next week.
Oh, yeah, we have plans.
Next week on Score Leftovers.
Plans are in motion.
If you remember Carlos Zambrano discussing his favorite hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Plans are in motion for Bernstein and McKnight, a cooking show.
We've reserved the kitchen.
We've reserved the culinary kitchen, and we are going to do a cooking show where we are going to make Venezuelan-style hot dogs.
We will probably horribly butcher them.
No!
I guess the ingredients themselves are delicious.
Yeah.
So, worst-case scenario, it's a bunch of misplaced ingredients on a plate with a hot dog. They all just taste fantastic.
I am open to Venezuelan-style hot dog, and we're going to make it, and we're going to taste test it, and it's going to be great.
Think about doing like a deconstructed Venezuelan hot dog. You know, like something real weird that would absolutely lose on Iron Chef. And it's like little cups of things that you have to all eat together.
I think you've overthought this.
Maybe.
Yeah. When I realized this, too, with where we are with Addison Russell's situation and the words that Theo Epstein keeps using about this being ongoing, this there's not a finish line, it isn't necessarily a reward. We've got to come to grips with the fact that it's going to be in many ways unsatisfying. This doesn't resolve. There's the way a writer would set something up. There is tension. There is resolution.
Yeah.
It happens in literature. It happens in music. Tension, resolution. We've got to resign ourselves to the fact that this Addison Russell situation is not linear. There is no end point. There is no closure. There is no arrival. We're just going to have to get used to a level of tension that is now, it will dissipate over time because it's still all about baseball. It's all about winning. Look, they call the guy up early and at home. My takeaway is it shows you how coldly about business it all is, about how much about baseball it remains. And they go out of their way to say the right things. And Theo has been brilliant. He's been masterful in trying to work his way through some of this stuff.
Yeah, there's two things that he keeps mentioning that I find, I don't want to say reassuring, but at least kind of context setting for me. Because I wouldn't have kept him on the team. I am glad that the Cubs have been as out front as they can be about the process Addison Russell is going through constantly to remain on this team. Theo has mentioned the conditional return of Addison Russell over and over again, that it is highly conditional and that his teammates will welcome him back on a conditional basis. And that condition is his continued work. And I think, you know, when you point out, I hadn't thought of it that way about the resolution that there will not be.
There won't be.
It could be his
entire life.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's in asking as many people about the process of getting yourself together, of getting your life back together, of getting your family back together after situations like this, that it is a constant search for improvement. It's not something that you just go through a program and then you're fine. People with addiction or with domestic violence issues, it's very much a somewhat similar thing, at least it seems to me to be, that it is a constant work. It is not something that is just one day fixed. It's something you have to consistently work at. And because of that, it's almost as though there cannot be resolution. It is something that is always being worked on.
That's what I mean. As sports fans, we're used to demarcations. We're used to now at this time period, you have won or you have lost. You have succeeded or you have failed. You're performing well or you're not. And this is, and that's why we keep asking Theo, and I heard Mully and Haw were correctly asking it. How do we know? How do you determine? We want a scoreboard. Addison Russell, the scoreboard as a person. Are you reformed? Are you rehabilitated? Rehabilitated. Sonny, go ahead and stamp your forms. But it's very unsatisfying. So I think really we just have to kind of watch the baseball and. Well, as long as he's a Cub, you can root for him to succeed as a baseball player and compartmentalize.
You cannot do. I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously you can, and that's another thing that both Jed and Theo have mentioned when they've been asked about the return of Addison Russell. You know, there were boos last night. I went through all of his plate appearances again this morning. It did feel like there were a lot of boos. Some of my friends who were watching the game thought it sounded fairly positive on television. In reading from guys like Paul Sullivan and John Greenberg and Gordon Whitmire who were walking around.
Yeah, he said he went into the stands to gauge some of this rather than trying to hear it from the press.
To kind of gauge, that kind of noise. It sounded a little bit more negative than positive. And I think the Cubs, Theo and Jed specifically, have done a good job of letting fans who are displeased with the return and or actions of Addison Russell are very much entitled to react to him the way they feel they need to react. I'm glad that gets put out there because I think that kind of space is necessary.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State and Iowa season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Mark is in Bolingbrook. He's on The Score. Hello, Mark.
Hello, gentlemen.
Yo.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a everyday listener, so I hope you guys don't belittle me on here when I say this, because I'm just going to share what I genuinely think. I do not think that these people who are calling in defending the circle game are actually defending a game where you punch somebody in the arm. We're defending the fact that all of a sudden some radical group of people can say what some silly little minute sign means, and then all of a sudden we get to ban and, you know, we get to look back on his social media and determine, without even speaking to him, that he is a racist.
Well,
I mean, seriously,
Mark,
everybody.
Mark,
country,
I'm not going to cut you off. Let's have Mark.
Mark, if you want to have a discussion, we can have a discussion.
Let's talk a little bit. Right. You know, so you mentioned that you get to go back and look at his social media. If the Cubs did indeed go back through his social media, they looked back through his public posts. It's not as though they exposed something that had been hidden. It's not like they went through his private emails. It's not like they've gone through anything like that. They went through public posts.
It's so public, let's see what it is that they're using to determine that this guy's a racist. If he's so confident with being a racist in public, then let's really show what he posted that is so racist. Because for some reason, I believe that we're just going off a tangential relationship. Outraged police. We're going to see a tweet where he maybe said something that was probably out of
Mark,
touch or out of color.
Mark,
but we're going to determine him.
What I don't understand is why are you caping so hard for him?
I'm not caping for
you
him.
Are. Yes,
well,
yes,
everybody
yes.
Everybody else does.
No, no, that,
TV,
that's
say,
no.
Oh my God, he's a white
Mark,
supremacist.
Mark, why are you? Why does it mean so much to you? Why is it so important for you to give this guy, behind Doug Glanville, making that sign, why would you give, knowing that the Cubs did do their due diligence, why would it be so important for you to find a way to defend him?
Okay, so did the Cubs do their due diligence?
Yes, I'm just, but again.
They haven't even spoken to him from
Mark,
what we understand.
No, they tried. They called him. They called him. He didn't answer. He would not respond.
Just please. Mark.
So they made
a lot of people don't. That's why I pointed
Mark,
out.
Not, okay, but Mark, here's the thing. Mark, let me have my turn. Explain to me why it's so important to you to work this hard to defend this guy.
I'm not defending him.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Listen to what I'm saying, and you would understand I'm not. I'm defending the fact that all of a sudden a radical group of people.
First of all, Mark, it's not a radical group of people at all. If you go to the website of the Anti-Defamation League and other places, there are detailed explanations and histories as to what has happened with the sign, a timetable of when it has happened. Signs change in meaning, and this is a sign that has changed in meaning.
And I agree with that. And I think
if you do agree with that and understand that, you wouldn't be so strongly defending these actions.
They did their due diligence. They haven't even spoken to him. Do you think detectives go about solving crimes without speaking
well,
to the
Mark,
person?
Well, Mark, hold on 1 second, though. Mark, one second.
Mark, why are you going out of your way to defend this guy?
Because it's death by mob rule. We get to just...
He's not dead. He's not dead. He's just not allowed to go to Cubs games anymore. Why does it matter to you?
We just get to ban
Mark.
People for whatever?
No, this isn't for whatever.
No,
this is for making... It's not for whatever. It's for making a racist gesture behind a black reporter at a game. It's not for whatever.
I get that there are some people that say that, but wouldn't it just be as reasonable to say, hey, I'm doing the circle game, I'm going to tell my buddy that
it's not a crime. It is a private business. You heard from Crane Kenny. You heard from Theo Epstein. They are certain in their determination. They spent an entire day figuring out what was reasonable. And you heard Crane Kenny on these airwaves describe what they determined.
They're not beholden to the same burden of proof as a criminal procedure. They're a private entity that get to ban people for the code of conduct that's listed on the back of the ticket. That's what they enacted here. This isn't death by a thousand cuts. This isn't slowly taking back anything fun
He's
or
not
everything
jailed.
Fun.
He's just can't come to Cubs games anymore.
That's what this is.
That's all.
I understand some reaction of people to look at it's the circle game or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
No, it's not.
And Mark seems to understand pretty clearly that this symbol has been co-opted by other people as a symbol of hate. You mentioned the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. They've defined this as an authentic symbol of hate, one that you should use caution in identifying, however, because there are multiple uses of the thing. It's not cut and dry. The Cubs did their research. They determined what this guy meant by whatever research they were able to do. He didn't respond to their trying to contact him. They made their determination based on the code of conduct listed on the back of the ticket. It's pretty simple to me. But my issue is, and the reason that I would imagine, I imagine Mark is pretty upset right now, and that you and I were a little upset yesterday and again today, is that there are a lot of people who want to yell and scream about it being the circle game, who refuse to try and understand that symbol has multiple meanings. And I think that's why we talked about it as often as we did yesterday. That's why Crane Kenny called and wanted to talk about what the Cubs were up to. That's why they released the statements, because there are a lot of folk who don't read through the rest of the article, so to speak. There are a lot of people who don't realize that there's a difference between an emoji on your Apple keyboard, Michael Jordan making a three sign when he's won a three-peat, and a symbol of white power used after a mass murderer has been convicted of a sentence. Like, there are very clearly three different things in that explanation, and there's more, but there are a lot of people who refuse to make any sort of delineation from one to the other. That's the reason that you and I are upset. That's the reason the Cubs are a little bit upset here. It's not the only reason. And really, that's the reason Mark is upset, too.
That's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are on 9 a.m. to noon on your home for first place Chicago Cubs baseball. A walk-off win last night, two nights in a row. Can you name the last time the Cubs had consecutive walk-off home run wins?
I can, but I bet a lot of people can't.
And you know who hit those home runs?
I do, but I bet a lot of people don't. Also, Anthony Rizzo was an MVP last night. Hayward was great. That dude had the defensive night of his life.
We'll get into that, and then Tim Anderson of the White Sox at the top of the hour on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
He's going to show bunt and bunt it in the air. It's going to be caught by Rizzo. He lets it drop. Anthony steps on the bag, and now they've got a man in a rundown. Good play by Rizzo. It's going to be a double play. How about that? How about that by Anthony Rizzo? He saw the batter, Birdie, not running, and that little popped up bunt, he let it drop. Then he ran over and stepped on first, and that forced Herrera to run to second. They got him in a rundown. Good thinking, Anthony Rizzo.
Outstanding stuff from Anthony Rizzo. Veteran move from a plus defender at a position where you don't often see plus defenders.
That was my thing all last night, watching Rizzo make a couple of plays. It wasn't the only double play he turned. It wasn't the only nice play he had. I know a lot of people have looked at Rizzo's defensive value, the metrics, what he provides you, and said, I don't know if I see a great first baseman there. Good one, sure, athletic, yeah, charges on bunts, that's cool, and plays a little second base, technically, when the Cubs move him in on a bunt situation like that. But I don't know that that's a dangerous and impact game defensively from first base. I've always been told that, like, Keith Hernandez was one of the most dangerous defenders at first base of the day, of his age, of the last, like, 40 years or so.
That's a great point. You don't see somebody maybe save a game, but somebody actually actively help you win a game with first base defense.
Guys wouldn't run on Hernandez coming from third, like when he'd go into field a bunt, or try and go from second to third, rather, when he'd come in to field a bunt, because he had the arm, too.
Or as a cutoff man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, the reputation that guy had was amazing. And no, from 3-1-2, it's not the infield fly rule. That's when there's runners on first and second, or when the bases are loaded and there's less than two outs and there's a pop-up on the infield. Don't you know that there's something that you should know. If you don't know the Isotopes, by the way, punk rock baseball band, get into them. They're great.
This segment brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. The Cubs lineup is out for today. Day game after a night game, a 120 start. You'll hear on the score. Jason Hayward leads off. He's in right field. Chris Bryant will bat second and play third. Anthony Rizzo is at first. Javier Baez at short. Kyle Schwarber bats fifth in left. Albert Almora in center field. David Bote will play second.
Ah.
Taylor Davis will bat eighth. And catch Yu Darvish, who bats ninth.
I like Taylor Davis's Yu Darvish's caddy a little bit.
So the last time the Cubs had consecutive walk-off game-winning home runs was 1998.
All right.
That was the year that they won that extra wild card game against the San Francisco Giants. Sammy Sosa, you know, all that happened.
I remember.
And Sammy Sosa was not one of the guys who hit the home runs. As I heard correctly, I believe Orlando Merced beat the Milwaukee Brewers with a three-run homer, and then Mark Grace did the honors.
Hit one of his homers that year.
hit a
lot of doubles.
Wow.
A lot of doubles. Couple homers. I was, I shouldn't say the name. I think I have said the name of the bar that that I was in during when that series ended against the Braves as a 13-year-old.
What?
Yeah. my buddy and I had, our dads had taken us, you know, to outside the ballpark for game three, because we were in Chicago for whatever reason. Okay. Like, oh, let's go down to the ball. Yeah. So he and I, Pete, you've met Pete.
Yeah.
We're 13 and get pulled into or talked into or something like that. And we're sitting up at the bar and watching this game with everybody there. It was a hell of a time. We learned a lot. We learned a lot that night about what it was to watch that team, what it was to watch other people watch
Life
that
lessons.
Team. We learned a lot.
Life lessons for the 13-year-olds. We are going to talk to a young man who plays a very ebullient brand of baseball. And he's a fun guy and doing fun things. Tim Anderson, the shortstop for the Chicago White Sox, is slated to join us next. So keep it here. You have the score.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.